Yesterday's death penalty moratorium announcement is not the first time the state has halted prisoner executions. In fact, Washington has already abolished and reinstated the death penalty more than once. Tim Ford's been practicing law here for more than 40 years. He's an expert on capital punishment, and he's president of the Washington Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. For the record, Ford would like to see the death penalty go away, but he told me the penalty itself goes back a very long time.
There were legal and illegal hangings of people before Washington even became a state.
Illegal hangings, is that the death penalty? Is that just imposed by popular will?
Well, it's lynching. But, you know, historically, lynching and the death penalty have been very similar in terms of their use and the reasons they're used and the places they've been used. People who study the subject really kind of lump them together in some ways. When you're talking about places like the territories where the law was not so clearly in place.
So yesterday's action by Governor Inslee was not the first time that Washington State have seen a moratorium on the death penalty. When was the last time and what happened?
Well, there have been two periods. We actually abolished the death penalty by statute back in 1913, and it was abolished for 8 years and then came back after a notorious crime in the 1920s. And then in the 1960s, when there was a question about whether the death penalty was going to be held unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, there was a series of governors who issued moratoriums, in essence, to allow that litigation to go forward. But there's never been anything quite like what Governor Inslee did yesterday, which is more like what's happened recently in some other states that have later gone on to abolish the death penalty.
Tim Ford, you mentioned most recently the moratorium was when the U.S. Supreme Court was trying to decide whether it would institute a ban on the death penalty. Why was the death penalty reinstated in Washington after that?
Well, a variety of reasons. I don't think when you're talking about a democratic process, there's never a single reason why things happen. But, you know, in general, when you put the abstract question to people, as politicians tend to do, of whether you want to put bad murderers to death, then a lot of people say yes. But when you actually talk about some of the realities and some of the alternatives, then actually nowadays most people say no. But over the years, it's been exploited, I think, a lot by some politicians who found it, that they got a resonant chord when they, you know, said bad things about people who had been convicted of bad things.
So essentially, a get-tough policy makes you tough on crime.
Right. And, I mean, you know, the death penalty was very close to being abolished permanently by the Supreme Court of the United States, and that basically turned around with the Nixon war on crime. And this is one of its legacies, but it's one that's pretty much become a non-issue in terms of the public at large. People don't spend a lot of time focusing on this issue rather than a lot of other issues.
How has Washington State used the death penalty since the 60s or 70s?
We've had a lot of death penalty trials and a lot of appeals and quite a few people sentenced to death. And then, as the governor pointed out, the majority of those have been overturned. And as a result, we've had exactly two people involuntarily executed over the last almost 40 years now. And then there were three people who wanted to commit suicide. Actually, more people have been executed who wanted to be than who did not want to be.
How does that compare to other states in the country?
There's a big difference. In the South, things are very different in terms of this and a lot of other things having to do with law and punishment. In other states, actually, in this part of the country, it's not that different. In Nevada, I think they've had 5 executions, and they've all been voluntary. In Idaho, most of the executions have been voluntary. Oregon, same thing. Hmm. So all these places that are spending all this time and money on these cases, really more than anything else, just end up providing an assisted suicide to somebody who's been convicted of a terrible crime.
I believe that you said a bit earlier, I just want to check to make sure I heard you correctly, that public opinion is predominantly opposed to using death as the final measure of punishment.
No, well, it's not that simple. If you just ask a straight question, do you support the death penalty? I think right now it's down to 60%, which is low for that question. But if you say to people, what should be the punishment for murder? Should it be life without parole or the death penalty? Right now in this state, you get a slight plurality. I'm not sure if it's a majority, but it's right around 50-50.
You have spent time in the courtroom. How do you see people's attitudes change toward the death penalty when they're actually confronted with a human being, a real human?
it's very different. And obviously, you know, when you're just talking about an abstract person whose picture you see under a terrible headline in the newspaper, you know, it seems simple. What you can just hurt that person or get rid of that person, and things would be better. But when you learn about what led up to some of these things, the lives that people have lived to get in the conditions they are, the illnesses that they have, the mental illnesses that they have, it changes a lot. And that's why, you know, we have very, very few death sentences imposed in this state, even though, as you say, if you just go out on the street and say, are you in favor of the death penalty, most people would say yes.
If you're representing a victim's family, do they start off wanting really that eye for an eye punishment, and then when they're confronted with the perpetrator, back off? What happens?
Well, I don't want to generalize. I mean, everybody's different, especially in some horrible circumstance like that. But I think that, as the governor said again yesterday, you know, he's been talking to a lot of victims' families, and they do have very different feelings and very different understandings, and it does change. So, yes, I've seen that a number of times in my career up front and, you know, indirectly, and I've heard about it many times, that is the process they go through, especially when they become embittered by realizing that this process is going to go on, and that the focus of the process is going to be the person who's on trial for his life rather than the victim, and that's very painful for everybody.
Does Governor Inslee have the authority to abolish the death penalty himself?
I don't think he has any authority that would go beyond his term. He could certainly take away the death sentences of everyone who's either been sentenced or is facing the death sentence during his term, and any governor in our state could do that. But I think the abolition of the death penalty itself would have to happen either, could happen from the judiciary, could happen from the legislature, could happen from the people.
What do you think will happen with the death penalty, either given Inslee's action yesterday, either in the legislature or at the judicial level?
I know that in the other states, I think in all the other states, we don't know yet about Oregon and Colorado, but what has happened in the other states is that there have ultimately been a decision to abolish the death penalty after a moratorium like this. In one state, I think Maryland, during the debate, there were a couple of executions, and then they decided to abolish it, which is another, you know, horrible question. Who is going to be the last person? Which is going to be the last one? And why? Why would we, you know, want to struggle all this time and spend all this money to maybe have one or two more people executed before we finally abolish it? We're a pariah in the world. We can't get our prisoners back or our criminals back from other countries because we have a death penalty. You can get across the Canadian border. You can't be extradited for murder unless we guarantee you're not going to get the death penalty. We have a number of people in our prisons who escaped the death penalty exactly that way because they got out in the world, and the rest of the world, you know, everybody else that we do business with, except our one exception, I guess would be Japan. Otherwise, we're talking about, you know, Iraq and Iran, places that we don't usually think that we, you know, share traditions with.
Why does it persist here, then?
I'm not a politician, so I don't know. I mean, it's a question of politics, I think. So my amateur opinion or observation has been that what happened in the 1970s, the Republican Party primarily started this tough-on-crime attack, and there was a big racial component to it. And the Democratic Party decided that they didn't want to fight that fight. And so the leadership has been absent. You know, people have not been willing to get up and say, politicians have not been willing to get up and say what Governor Inslee said yesterday, which is absolutely true. Everything he said, everybody in the business knows. There's no deterrence. It's a waste of money. It puts the families through hell. It puts the victims through hell. It turns out remarkably unequally. You have terrible injustices, and it doesn't serve any purpose. And pretty much everybody knows that, but unfortunately, it's been something that politicians have not been willing to lead on in that direction. It's much easier to say, look at this horrible person, let's kill him.
Tim Ford is a lawyer and president of the Washington Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, helping understand the history of the death penalty in Washington state. It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman with Ross Reynolds.